Certo. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. One thought is coming to my mind. Just before Isha Salah, somebody sent me a message that the Zionist army, Jewish army, so they have dropped leaflets in Rafah, tell the people that they must evacuate, they must leave Rafah because they're going to start bombing there now. So Allah Ta'ala alone knows, you know, in the fog of war, a lot of things are spoken, a lot of things are said. Only Allah Ta'ala knows what is reality. And we make dua that Allah Ta'ala, whatever it is, Allah Ta'ala make it easy. And Allah Ta'ala find a way out for our Muslim brothers and sisters, grant the Mujahideen Nusrat. So, one side now they bombed the whole, the rest of Gaza, and most of the people have now moved to this Rafah area. Now they say they want to bomb here. So one brother who is involved in this charitable works, you know, where they do calm wherever there is floods and destruction, war, etc. So now they do calm in those places. He commented, because with this, one side there is talk of this bombing in Rafah, and other side there is talk of a ceasefire. So Allah alone knows what is the reality. So on the talk of the ceasefire, so this person commented that now the real work will start. Because now if there is a ceasefire, then that means people will now be able to enter and go and assist those who are affected and rebuild the place. Rebuild the place. So obviously, to rebuild that place now, how much money it will cost, and so many people will have to get involved, etc., etc. So one thought came to my mind, you know, that most of us, our forefathers, most of us sitting here, so our forefathers come from India, right? And in India, up to now, they have a certain season that is known as the monsoon season. You get heavy monsoon rains. And this happens every year. Right? And every year, when these rains come, people's houses get destroyed. Right? But there was never a movement to say that now we have to go and help these people to rebuild. Every year, the houses get demolished, the houses get destroyed in the floods, drops down, right? But never did you have to get like so many organizations and everybody together to go and rebuild the place. Everybody rebuild their own. Just to digress a little bit, I'm getting to a point, I'm not saying mustn't go help the people of Gaza, you know, today you must watch what you say. Must go and help, right? If you can help, help. I'm not saying mustn't help. I'm getting to a point, an Islahi point. So, there was one Buzurg who used to live in an area where the monsoons used to affect that area, right? And he was a senior ustad, he was, you know, a senior sheikh also. And every year when the rains used to come, then his house too used to get affected. So now, when he had so many well wishes now, so many friends, so many murids, all well wishes, so they went to him and they said that, Hazrat, see, allow us to build a brick house for you. Now your house is made of mud bricks. So when the monsoon is coming, the house is getting destroyed. So allow us to build a brick house for you, so it will be able to withstand the floods to a certain extent. So he said he was refusing. So eventually they began insisting. So he said, okay, are you going to be able to build a brick house for everybody in my locality? Everybody in my locality, will you be able to build for them a brick house? Obviously, they can't do that. So he said, see, if I'm going to have a brick house, how are they going to feel? How will they feel? I'm living in a locality where everybody got a mud house. So just leave me with my mud house. If I go put a brick house, now they will all feel inadequate now. They'll feel like they got nothing. Whereas, alhamdulillah, we're all living in our mud houses. It's serving its purpose. There's no problem. Just on that point, there was, I don't know if it was the same buzurg or another buzurg. So he was having a problem with these mice, you know, coming in the house. So somebody told him, Hazrat, we buy you one cat. So then the mice will run away now from the house. So he said that, see, if you're going to buy a cat for me and put in the house, and the mice run away from here, where are they going to go? They'll go to all my neighbors' houses. So I must give them taklif. Rather just leave them here, it's okay. I'm not saying you must think like that. But they had this kind of riayat, this kind of consideration, right? Which is beyond our imagination. Like Hazrat Imam Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali was walking, and that hen crossing the road with the chicks. Right? So he stops. A distance away he stops. And now there's a whole jamaat walking behind him. They're all going together for salah. Now everybody has to stop. So when people queried, they said, see, if we had to walk, now what would have happened? The chicks would have scattered. Now the hen would have been pareshan now. The hen would have been now perturbed. It won't know now, where's the chicks? So I didn't want to give that hen taklif. Don't want to give that hen taklif. Our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to always tell us, sometimes Hazrat used to have program late night, Ramadan Sharif. He used to always say that, see, you're going home now. When you're turning into your driveway, off your lights. Because your neighbor may be sleeping. Now your bright lights is going to hit the neighbor's window. So you will cause a disturbance to that neighbor's sleep. Now, what I'm saying is our minds won't even go there. Right? So if we cannot develop that level, we can't develop that level of riayat and consideration, then at least this much, that we don't cause a fellow human being taklif. That nobody must get taklif through my actions. Through my actions, nobody must be given any difficulty, nobody must be given any taklif. There was one of our senior Buzruganidin. He was traveling on the train. Now those of you that young people, you won't even know. And now it's not even like that anymore. In the old days, those of you that traveled India, then you will know how the trains were, etc. And how the toilets used to be in, what the condition. So, they were traveling, and now in that coach, there was a Hindu person with his friends, whatever, they were also traveling. And this Buzurg was traveling with his murids, his students. So this Hindu person woke up to go to the toilet. He needed to use the toilet. When he went there, and he seen the state of the toilet, So he came back quicker than he went, you know. So this Buzurg overheard this person telling his companion that, you know what, the toilet is so bad, how are you going to even use it, you know. So the Buzurg didn't say anything. After a few moments, he woke up. He went to the toilet. He went and cleaned the toilet. For who? For one Hindu. He went and cleaned the toilet. And then he came back and quietly he told that Hindu person, he said, you know, it seems like the cleaners, they came and cleaned it up. If you wish to use it, you can go and use it now. Now, what level? Now, if we can't be of benefit to anybody else, at least don't cause somebody taklif. We can't be of benefit. We can't really be. At least don't cause somebody taklif. Today, our situation has become such, we don't respect the next person. Even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the farewell Hajj, what was the point that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam kept on making? He's asking the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, what city is this? They knew which city it is, but they saying, the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked this question, like as if to say, he was going to give Makkah Mukarramah a new name. Then he asked now, what month is this? What day is this? Because all this is sacred. The city is sacred. The month is sacred. The day is sacred. Then he says to them, see, the life, the honor, the wealth of every believer is sacred. Like how this city is sacred, this month is sacred, this day is sacred. Now, how are we towards the next believer? Somebody is sleeping. Do we think that my action is going to cause taklif? Forget cleaning somebody else's mess in the toilet. I went and used the toilet myself. When I'm leaving the toilet, in what condition am I leaving it? Hazrat Mohammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi, he used to keep reminding us. He says, you're flying in the aeroplane, you're going for Umrah, whatever. Now you go and use the place and you want to make wudu because you want to read your salah. So that's all well, very good in its place. You need to make wudu, you're going to read salah. But when you're going to make wudu, you are going to wet the floor of that toilet. So you make sure that you clean it up. Before you leave the toilet, you clean it up. You make sure you wipe that basin dry. The sides of that basin, you make sure it's dry. They got paper there, tissue paper and whatever. Take paper, wipe that floor. So when you come out from there, you left the place better than how you found it. When one non-Muslim person is going to enter there, they're not going to get taklif. And say, what type of Muslims are these? So one side is the ibadat. Now, if you know, I'm making my wuzu now, so what? No. One side is our ibadat. One side is our akhlaq, our character. Am I causing taklif to anybody? Am I giving anybody taklif? I mustn't cause taklif to anybody. Today, our situation has come such, we can't even respect a person who's reading namaz. Somebody is reading namaz, we can't even respect the person who is reading namaz. People are reading namaz, we are making a big din. So we can't respect the person when they're talking to Allah Ta'ala. What other respect can we ever have for anybody? So coming back to what we were saying, this was just, we digressed onto a few other points, but those points are also important. Coming back to what was mentioning, that see, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his home was also with mud, made of mud. His roof was made of date palm trunks and palm leaves, right? And if you travel the world, you travel the country, you travel the world, there are millions and millions of people living like that. Mud houses, straw roofs, and they're living their life, right? So why in that zamana, when those monsoons used to take place, year in, year out, the monsoons take place, and people's whole localities get washed away, right? But why you never needed now so many organizations to get together to go rebuild the place? Because their houses were made of mud. And the mud is available for free. And the expertise all of them had. So every year they had a new house. Every year they had a new house. The house got washed away, they made another one. The material was there, is free. Right? So they adjusted their lives. Right? They knew now, okay, we're having monsoon, so now we mustn't keep our grain on the floor, put it on top of the roof. The hay for the animals, put it on top of the roof. Keep it all high, so those things won't get affected. Right? And now the monsoons will come, our walls will get washed away a little bit, this will happen, that will happen. When the rain subsides, now we take mud and we sort it out again. Next year we do the same thing again. It costs us nothing. But you see, when we have built up our world, and now we feel that, you know, we have to have a certain standard now, certain standards it have to be, then everybody has to get together to try and rebuild us. We are all guilty. All of us, we are guilty that we have built up our world. And these fancy things, you know, as soon as you go, you want to do something that's not the standard. It's not standard now. You have to make something unique. Those are the things that take time, and those are the things that cost money. Extra money, isn't it? But if you just make something straightforward, simple, then it don't cost too much also, and it don't take too much time also. Don't take too much time also. But there are people that live like this, you know. You travel, you go into the Transkei, you go into other, they live like that. They build their hut with mud, wood, mud, straw. Couple years time, it has weathered. They need to patch up here, patch. It's all free of charge. The material is there. It's right there. You sort it out. And carry on. So there's no stress about that. When life is simple, then a person will have sukoon also. But life is simple. Expenses are less. Life is simple, person is living a simple life, right? Then he'd have sukoon, he'd have a lot of time for ibadah too, a lot of time for his family too, everything. But when we have made the world our objective, then everything is lost. Our salah with jamaat is lost, family time is lost, akhlaq is lost, everything is lost because we're so stressed out with everything. Allah Ta'ala make it asan, whatever the situation is there. But this, I'm not mentioning this for them, I'm mentioning this for us. You know. That we must be simple. Be simple. There are so many examples that come to the mind, you know, so many things that come to the mind. Today's time, you take appliances, they can't fix. So many appliances, they can't fix. You send the appliance, say, what's the problem with the appliance? The appliance stopped working. Say, what happened? No, the motherboard is gone. You sit and think to yourself, what the motherboard got to do with the functioning of this machine? But every machine became on computer. You got a normal machine that's supposed to be mixing your dough or grinding your things or whatever. Now that thing stopped working. So before it would be the motor or the blades, you need to, you know, replace the blades. Or your, so all simple things what people can fix. Now you, there was no, the motherboard is gone. But motor car is the same story. Computer box is gone. The wheels are functioning, engine is functioning, everything is functioning. Computer box is gone. So now you can't use the car. And we think we're progressing. We're going reverse gear. We are retrogressing. We're retrogressing. Before, every person who drove a vehicle, he had some basic, you know, knowledge, mechanics. Today you open the boot, you open the bonnet, there's a whole cover over the engine. In other words, they're telling you, please don't touch. Don't touch. They want to cover over the whole engine, but they don't want you to put your hand anywhere near there. You mustn't touch. You mustn't know what's happening. The mechanic also doesn't know what's happening. The mechanic, if you take the car to the mechanic, he takes one plug and puts it inside. The computer tells him what's the problem. He too doesn't know what's the problem. The computer must tell him what's the problem. And we think we're progressing. Here, coming here to this majlis, one of the things taught in Bukhari Sharif is that when Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it came close to the time, you know, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to be informed of his nubuwat, then seclusion became beloved to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It mentioned, حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَىٰ. Seclusion became beloved to him. He wanted to always be on his own, wanted to be alone. So when the seclusion became beloved to him, then divine ilm came to him. Wahi, divine ilm came to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In reality, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with nubuwat even before the form of Adam alayhi salam was made. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already blessed with nubuwat even before the form of Nabi Adam alayhi salam was made. But he was informed of his nubuwat at age 40. But he was blessed already with nubuwat long time ago. But he was informed of his nubuwat at age 40. But before Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the wahi started, something that became very beloved to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to be on his own, seclusion. So this is why Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go away to the cave and he used to spend some time, whole week, alone there. So Hazrat Rahmatullah is mentioning that as for us talaba, those who are studying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we desire that now this knowledge, this divine knowledge, it must just come to us. Some spiritual experience we must have and it must come away. Some kashf must come and it must come away. Some ilham will come in. So Hazrat is explaining that without having developed love for seclusion, a person is just wishful thinking that he is going to get the real secrets of divine knowledge. Until he doesn't love seclusion, that means he doesn't spend time alone with Allah Ta'ala. Today we got time for everything, but we haven't got time to spend alone with Allah Ta'ala. I just want to be alone, just me and Allah Ta'ala, want to talk to my Allah. So Hazrat says that a person who thinks that without having developed this love for seclusion, he is going to be blessed with the noor of ilm, the true knowledge, then this is khiyali plow. Like how we say in In English, you say pie in the sky. You know? Pie in the sky. Khiyari plow. Plow is a rice dish. The khiyari plow, that you, in your imagination, you got one dish of food, you know. Now you say pie in the sky, like that. So this seclusion is a very, very important thing, right? Nazarji gives one incident here of Hazrat Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, that he presented himself to Sheikh Abdul Haq Radulwi Rahmatullah Ali because he wanted to take bayat and follow the path of suluk. So he mentioned his condition and he said that he had come for his islah. So Sheikh Abdul Haq asked him that, have you acquired ilm-e-deen? So he replied in the negative, no, I didn't really study the deen of Allah Ta'ala. The Sheikh said to him that, see, then you go to Delhi and first go and acquire ilm-e-deen. Because without ilm-e-deen, there is a fear of going astray. A person gets too involved in tasawuf without guidance, and he doesn't have ilm-e-deen, there is a fear he can go astray. He starts overdoing things. He starts understanding things incorrectly. He starts giving preference to spiritual conditions over his obligatory ibadat. He can't differentiate. He can't put things in the right perspective and in the right place because he doesn't have ilm-e-deen. So, at that time, ilm-e-deen was in the family of Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali. So this is why I told him, go to Delhi and go and study ilm-e-deen first. So as Hazrat Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali stood up to depart, Sheikh Abdul Haq Rahmatullah Ali told him, he said, listen carefully. It seems that when you return after having studied, I won't be alive. I won't be alive. However, my son will be alive. You must come and take bayat to my son and turn to him for your Islam and keep on treading this path. And you must come to my qabr also, make dua for me. And inshallah, you will derive the same amount of blessings as you would if you had taken bayat to me. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali explained, he says that in those days, people had a lot of faith and confidence. They were very firm. So Hazrat Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, he said, very well, and he proceeded to Delhi. When he returned after completing his studies, the situation was exactly as his sheikh had stated. The sheikh had passed away. So as he had been instructed, he took bayat to the son of the sheikh. Right? And he continued his islahi journey with the son. So Hazrat Ji says that nowadays, the situation is amazing. As demonstrated by this incident of Hazrat Wala, meaning Hazrat Maulana Shabari Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, that one person from the rural areas, he came and he requested to become bayat. So by chance, Hazrat Wala asked him, do you not own some Morusi land? In other words, land that you acquired through inheritance, but wrongfully. The shares and all that were not worked out properly, either due to ignorance or whatever. So you received this land, but wrongfully you inherited it. So this person, he said, yes, there is some land in my possession that came to me in this manner. So Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali told him, he says, first go, get rid of that land. Relinquish that land and come back, then I will give you bayat. So this person replied, he said, no, make me bayat, then I'll go and relinquish the land. So Hazrat Thanvi told him, no. So you first go, you get rid of the land, then you come back, I'll make you bayat. So he departed and went and took bayat somewhere else. You don't want to give, I'll go somewhere else. There's dime a dozen, How many shekhs they are? You don't want to give, I'll go somewhere else. If the usuls of this shekh now is getting a little bit too difficult, no. Shia lo tata muye. Shia lo tata muye. What you waste? You know the story, Shia lo tata muye. You don't know this. So this person departed and he became bayat somewhere else. So this is the type of affection that murids have in this zamana. As soon as the goings get a little bit tough, you say, no, we rather move it up, go somewhere else now, turn to somebody else. Then you get so many murids. I experience it myself. They come, they say, no, I just want to make one mashwara with you. I say, but aren't you bayat? Don't you have a sheikh? I say, I've got a sheikh. So then why are you making mashwara with me now? Go to your sheikh. No, you see, Hazrat, he's too busy. No, I thought I'd just ask you also. We haven't understood what it is. We haven't understood what it is. When you come, you say you want to become bayat. So this bayat is derived from what word? Where's all these third years? Bay'ah come from which word? What's the root word? Bay'ah, isn't bay'ah. So bay'ah is what? Transaction, right? So what is a transaction now? If I take this kitab, I sold it to you. Now after I sold it to you, can I go to him now? And say that, you know what, you two don't want to buy this kitab. I finished selling it to you. Now I'm asking him also, you two don't want to buy this kitab. And then I'm telling him, but if you want to use it, you two must use it. But I sold it to you. I sold it to you, now it's your possession. Now I can't do anything with it. That is bay'at. You take bay'at to somebody, you have sold your soul. You gave your soul away to that person. Your life belongs to him. Now you ask him what you want to do. Whatever he tells you, you do it with no reservations. But today, we're just looking to appease our nafs. We want one sheikh just to say, hey, it's trending, you see. Everybody got sheikh, so I too got one sheikh. No, Hazrat, I got one Hazrat. But am I really making my islah? Making my islah. My reformation is taking place. So there are many, many things. One is, all this, you know, expenses and so many things self-imposed, you know, self-imposed. And then we say cost of living is high and this is high and that is high. You know, sometimes I just sit and think when you're building the madrasa, they say now that soak pit, you have to make a soak pit and a soak away and soak pit and soak away, that size. That thing alone cost you almost ₹500,000. Soak put and soak away. But you think now in the time of Sahaba Nonum, the other people living, what soak put they got? What soak away they got? They're living life. But we laugh at them. We laugh at them. I remember when I went to Mewat. So, in the morning, I tell this, ask the people, need to use toilet. So they say, koi baat nahi, why? They're pointing in one direction. So I went there is one wall. So you go behind the wall, and they got two steps, you know, like raised. Another two. So basically there's a spade there. You dig a hole, you relieve yourself, you cover it up. You must take your istinja water and go. You dig a hole there, you relieve yourself, you cover it up. That's the toilet. Finish. Right? But they're living, they're surviving, they're carrying on. Now, for us, one toilet you go to make, you know how much pipes you need, You don't know, because you only see the toilet. You don't know what's happening under. You think you just put the toilet, you put the flush, everything just went away. Some wand came and everything went away. No, that thing is traveling, bhai. That thing is traveling. Whatever you deposited is traveling. And if you're living in the city, it's traveling even more. If you're living in the farm, it's traveling short distance. It's traveling to the soak pit. You're living in the city, bhai, that thing is traveling a lot. So you're living in the company of what? It's traveling throughout in one way. But in the old days, people had pit toilet. And when I'm saying old days, not even long ago, in our own lifetime, it's not long time back, there was pit toilet, bucket system toilet, all these things. Do you know how much water gets wasted each time you pull the flush? You flush the toilet, how much water gets wasted? This systems that the kuffar put in place is all systems of israf, systems of extravagance and wastage. But now we are caught up in these systems. We are caught up in the systems of the systems. But there's a lot of things like this. If you really, you sit and you think about it, we think we're progressing, you know. We're not progressing. The person, he goes to the restaurant and he pays top money. You say, why? You know, they got, wood. You know, like a fire oven, you know. Oven now, they're using wood inside there, being fire. And they're cooking the food in that clay oven with the fire. But you go Afghanistan, everybody is cooking there. That's the only stove they know. Now today, you go pay money, high, top dollar to buy the food from that clay oven. But in your house, you got all this smegs and all the fancy stuff. But you go out and you pay top money to get the food from that fire. Now, the other day I saw an advert, they're advertising coal stoves. Again, they're advertising coal stoves. They say, no, see, with load shedding and the Eskom bill and everything, you'll cut down, now you buy one coal stove. In the old days, all our homes had coal stove. Now, we thought we were progressing. We're retrogressing. But if you stayed basic, your life is simple. Life is very, very simple. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Give us this life of simplicity. Save us from the love of the world. Don't let our hearts become engrossed and entangled in the world. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Some things I'm mentioning to you, and it's like you think, hey, we can't live like that anymore. Yeah, definitely, we can't live like that. We've gone too accustomed to all these other things. Nobody is saying we must go live like that. But then, in this lifestyle, we need to cut down. Wherever we can cut down, wherever we can become simple, we must be simple. Don't be extravagant. Don't keep things simple. Keep things plain. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته See this thing also. You travel Turkey, you travel all these other countries, they pride themselves with explaining to you the architecture, how the engineering and the architecture was, that huge, huge masajid, right? Huge, huge masajid. But the way they designed it, because they didn't have electricity and they didn't have the microphone, right? So they designed it such that the Imam is standing in the front and he spoke. But the way the masjid was designed, the voice travels. Right. Now we went and got this crackling thing. And now you got one, another one sitting around your ear. And you got another one sitting around your head. And it's like you imprisoned and imprisoned and imprisoned. All wired up. Yeah. And we think we're progressing. So now if there's no lights, you can't use a microphone. So, and the voice can't reach. But if you kept to that architecture, you kept to those things, you don't need a microphone. You don't need batteries. You don't need chargers. You don't need all these wires. Simple. Things were simple, but they worked. Today we've got all these technologies and all these things. Everything is breaking down. Everything. So much money you have to keep spending. Keep spending. And Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.